16th chapter of the book of Acts. This morning we'd like to sort of draw your attention to the 25th verse where Paul and Silas are in the jail in Philippi, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Paul was directed by the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to Macedonia. He was in Troas, and he saw a vision, a man from Macedonia, and he was calling for help. And Paul interpreted that as the call of God to take the gospel into Macedonia. He was wanting to go into Asia, but God was wanting to take the gospel into Europe. And so Paul, responding to the call of God, got on a ship with the rest of their company. And they sailed on over to Macedonia, and they came to one of the chief cities, Philippi. Now, they went down to the riverside on the Sabbath day, and they spoke to the ladies that were there. According to Jewish custom, if there are 10 men, Jews, in a city, then they could establish a synagogue. If there were less than 10 men, then they would meet usually by a river for their worship. So the fact that they were meeting by the river would indicate that there were less than 10 Jewish males in the city of Philippi. And so Paul went down to the river, and there he met with the ladies that had congregated, and there was the conversion of that notable woman, Lydia, who was from Thyatira, a businesswoman. And as Paul and Silas and Timothy and the others were ministering the gospel there in Philippi, there was a girl who had a demon spirit and the ability of divination, fortune telling. And she began to follow them. And she was crying behind them, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, what she was saying was correct. These were servants of the Most High God, and they were preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. Her following and crying these things annoyed Paul, probably the way that she was saying it, not what she said, that was correct, but perhaps the way that she was saying it, perhaps in some kind of a weird way, maybe even in a sarcastic way. But it annoyed Paul. Maybe he was annoyed because he didn't want the devil advertising him. But whatever it was, Paul finally turned and rebuked the evil spirit and commanded it to come out, which it did, surrendering to the authority of the name of Jesus. And the girl was set free from this demonic power. Now, this girl was being used by some men, and her ability to channel these spirits and to speak forth these words of divination, they were using that to profit themselves. They were charging people for the readings, so to speak, for the fortune telling. But when she was delivered from the evil spirit, they saw that their opportunity of making money off of her was gone. And so they grabbed Paul and Silas and they brought them before the city magistrates, and they began to make accusations against them. The accusations were these: these men, being Jews, trouble our city. It could be that the reason why there weren't many Jews in Philippi is that there was a strong anti-Jewish sentiment. The fact that their accusation, these men are Jews and they are troubling our city. They are teaching us customs that we cannot receive or observe being Romans. In other words, they're accusing them of insurrection against the Roman government. They're teaching us things that we cannot do or observe because we are Roman citizens. This accusation possibly came out of the fact that they were teaching that Jesus is Lord. Now, there had developed in Rome a sort of a deifying of the emperor. And people were often commanded to shout or to say, "Caesar is Lord." Now, this is something that the Christians would refuse to do. They would say, "Jesus is Lord." And thus, as Paul and Silas are proclaiming the lordship of Jesus, it could be that they're interpreting this as asking us to observe customs that we cannot observe as Romans. We cannot say Jesus is Lord. It's interesting that they didn't mention the true reason why they were upset. It wasn't the fact that they were teaching that Jesus was Lord. The true reason is that these men have been profiting off of this unfortunate gift of this young girl, and now they had lost the opportunity of making money off of her. They tried to indicate that it was their deep devotion for Rome, but in reality, it was a deep devotion for their pocketbook that they were upset. And thus, they had them arrested, they were beaten, and they were put into prison, and actually put into the stocks. That is, their hands and their feet were bound in the stocks, and they were placed into the inner prison. Can you imagine what they must have been feeling at this point? I imagine Silas said to Paul, "Are you sure God called us to Philippi?" You know, it would be sort of like being put in the Mexican jail from what I hear about them. You know, you're far away from friends, from home. And, you know, your back is still smarting from the beating. They didn't bother even to wash the blood off, but just bound them to these stocks in the inner prison. It's probably smelly, filled with germs. We know from the continuation of the story that the blood hadn't even been washed off. Their feet and their hands held tight, perhaps even their necks in the stocks. Under those circumstances, what do you think you would do? They were probably too uncomfortable to sleep. Their future was uncertain. And thus, the potential for great emotional distress. As the psalmist said, that these detractors were constantly saying to him, "Where is now your God?" It is circumstances like this that often cause us to question, "Where is God now? Why did God allow me to experience this horrible event? Why am I here, bound in this prison? If God really loves you, why did he allow this to happen to you? How long do you suppose they're going to keep you in this condition? Do you suppose you'll ever get out of here?" Have you noticed how that Satan so often attacks us with questions? Where is now your God? Questions of the promises of God, the Word of God. Questioning God's love. If God really loved you, then why would this happen? Questions about the fairness of God. Is it right? Is it fair that God should do this? I can imagine what I would be thinking in those conditions. But Paul and Silas at midnight, they were praying and they were singing praises unto God. And it said, and the prisoners heard them. Now, jails aren't the friendliest places in the world. And quite often, there's a lot of banter going back and forth at night. Yelling and cursing and here, can you imagine midnight, when these other fellows are wanting to sleep, here are these two guys in the inner prison singing. I imagine there were calls for them to shut up and all of this. They were probably taking a lot of abuse. An interesting note is that though their bodies were bound, their spirits were free. You know, it's better to have a free spirit and a body that is bound rather than to have a free body but a spirit that is bound. So many people are bound spiritually. That's a bad condition to be in. They might bind my body, but they can't bind my spirit. And so here they are in this miserable condition, one that you can hardly imagine anything worse. Rather than griping and complaining, they're praising God with songs. Singing is a great way of expressing praise. It's also a great way of expressing emotions. Love songs. Why is it that, you know, singing about your love always seems to be more expressive than just declaring your love? I can say, oh, I love you. Yes, I do, I love you. But if you sing it, I love you, yeah. You know, it seems to be more meaningful. It's a better way of expressing emotions. Whether they be emotions of sorrow or grief, like so many of the country western songs. Don't sweetheart me if you don't mean it. Don't say sweet words if you don't care, you know. No letter today, I've waited so long, you know. But it's a way of expressing the feelings that we have. Feelings of love, feelings of joy. Singing is a great way of stirring our emotions. And thus singing is a very important part of worship. Singing of the one that we love and singing to the one that we love. Our spirits are lifted by singing. A dark dungeon can be turned into a house of worship. It takes our minds off of our fears and off of ourselves, off of our pain, and it focuses our minds on the Lord. I've observed that the more I think about my problems, the worse they become in my mind. But the more I think about the Lord, the littler my problems become until they are insignificant. And so it's so important to focus on the Lord. And singing is just a great way of focusing on the Lord. When I was a child, my younger brother had asthma. And many times at night he would start wheezing. And my mother, hearing him, would come in and take him out of bed. We had an old wooden rocker that sort of squeaked when she rocked in it. And she'd hold him and rock him. And she'd be singing, "Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails." And I can remember very vividly at night in the darkness hearing the squeaky rocker, hearing the wheezing, and hearing my mother's soft voice just singing, "Jesus never fails." It was great comfort. And I'm sure it was a great comfort to my mother to be singing, focusing upon the Lord rather than upon her ailing child. The psalmist spoke about the songs in the night. Elihu, in talking with Job, talked about the God who gives songs in the night. And it is interesting that if you are a child of God, so often in a night of darkness or a night of distress, God will give you a song that will sustain, that will lift, that will take you out of the circumstances and bring you into the glory of His presence. Brings light into the darkest dungeon. The songs that God puts in our hearts. few years ago, I was back in Pennsylvania speaking at a conference. And I got food poisoning. And all night long, I was in abject misery. Just tossing, turning, getting up and going in and regurgitating, just miserable. Hot sweat and just misery. And in the midst of all of that misery, God gave me the most beautiful worship chorus I ever heard. And I just started singing this beautiful worship chorus. It was so beautiful, I thought, I'm going to go downstairs and just sort of score it out so that I won't forget it. Or I'm going to get up and get my notepad and write the words so I won't forget them. And I thought, oh, I'll never forget this. This is so glorious. This is so beautiful. I was really too weak to go downstairs, really too weak to get up and write out the words, but I just kept singing them over and over until I finally fell asleep. Morning, I felt great, except that I couldn't remember the chorus. I thought, boy, this would be a great chorus for the whole church to sing. But unfortunately, it was something just for me, just for that night, just to comfort and just to strengthen. Songs in the night. So often God gives to us those songs in the night for strength, for encouragement, for comfort. Singing becomes a faith builder because we become focused upon Jesus rather than our problem. And we now see our problems in the light of His ability, in the light of His strength, rather than in my weakness. Notice how many of the Psalms of David were written by David in response to the dire circumstances. A lot of the Psalms have the little heading, sort of tells you what condition David was in when he sat down and wrote that song. And it's interesting that God would give David songs of God's strength, God's power, God's deliverance. He is my fortress. He is my high tower. He is my rock. I shall not be moved. I mean, the songs of David express his confidence in God because they were focused on God and the greatness of God, which gave then David the confidence that he needed. Songs. Focus on the Lord. Next time you're worried, next time you're beginning to get an anxiety attack, just start singing songs about the Lord, songs about Jesus. And you'll find the whole attitude will change. Here's Paul and Silas, most miserable condition you can imagine. Midnight hour, darkest time, and yet here they are singing. Singing praises to the Lord. As they were singing, of course, there was a tremendous earthquake. It shook the doors open. It shook the stocks right off of them. They were free. It shook the jailer awake. And seeing the doors open, he figured the prisoners had fled, so he was going to commit suicide. Paul called him and said, "Don't. We're all here." And he came in and he said, "Sirs, What must I do to be saved? An interesting sidelight to the whole story. Sometimes we wonder, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, why are you allowing these circumstances to take place? But God has a purpose. God has a plan. There was a hardened Philippian jailer. He was used to seeing men suffer. Perhaps as he fell asleep, he heard these fellows in the inner prison singing, wondering, what kind of nuts do I have back there? But he fell asleep until he was awakened by the earthquake. But he was also awakened to his spiritual needs. You see, God wanted to reach this man and his whole family. And so God allowed Paul and Silas to be placed in his prison under his charge, that the gospel might be brought to him and that he might be saved in his whole house. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And suddenly we realize why God allowed the discomfort of his servants. It was to bring a lost jailer and his family to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God so often is working in the circumstances of our life that we look upon as difficult, hard, painful. We often are wondering, why has God allowed this? Those questions, where is now your God? And unbeknownst to us, in these painful situations, God is working out eternal purposes, so that the present suffering, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared with the eternal weight of glory that shall be ours as God fulfills his eternal purpose and plan in and through our lives. God used singing to bring the witness. Singing is so glorious. Don't deny yourself this blessing. Sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night. Express your love and praise to him through songs. I love it when I walk down the mall with my little grandkids. They're singing about Jesus. And I love people look, you know, yes, you know. Give them a witness, kids. Glorious songs, singing unto him. Father, we just thank you for the song that you've put in our heart. Song of praise, song of thanksgiving. Lord, we just worship you. And we lift our voices together to declare your glory, your powers, your wonders, your grace, your salvation, your goodness, your faithfulness, your love. Lord, so many wonderful themes when we sing about you. Lord, we pray that you'll plant your songs in our hearts. And if there are those who today are going through some heavy experiences and dark hours, seems like midnight hours to them, Lord, and it seems like the powers of darkness are too strong to withstand. Lord, give them songs of praise. Deliver them. Set them free as they praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? In the Old Testament, there's an interesting story about King Jehoshaphat. And there was a group of kings that had gotten together to attack Israel. And actually, Judah, the southern kingdom. And the Lord told them to just stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. The battle isn't yours, but God's. So he said, just have the priests go in front of the army, singing. You know, rather than the cavalry units and so forth, just have the priests go in front of the army singing. And it says, and as they sang, the Lord put the ambushments against the enemy. Is this any way to fight a war? Yes, it is. The spiritual warfare. Because our victory comes through the acknowledging of what God is and what God can do. And we're reminded as we sing. So, go your way singing. Sing unto the Lord, as David said. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Songs of deliverance, songs of praise. And who knows, maybe the Lord will give you a song that you can't remember. But will be just special for you for a special moment of distress. Oh, how good the Lord is. Let's sing our praises forevermore.